Well, once again, maybe for the third time, welcome to Machias Community Church. It is so good to have you. Thank you for coming. How is everybody? Good. Yeah. As Jack would say, you know, today's the day the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. That is one of the things that God made available at a very high price to him. How can we have joy every day? How can we experience the joy that God made available when he made us one of his children? Okay, because it doesn't really matter what the circumstances are. That's one of the things we're going to be talking about. First of all, as you can see, we all know what today is, right? Okay. I am going to pray for the game before we start. All right. Probably not in the way you think. I really don't care what the outcome is. I mean, I do. I mean, it'd be nice. But there's some things we can pray about. Lord, we pray for this day. We pray for those gentlemen that are going to be involved in this game, that you keep them healthy and that they will not be injured. But Lord, this is one opportunity when an amazing amount of people are going to be watching, and I have seen, and Lord, I pray today that those who are believers of yours will pray together on that field after the game, will share the gospel, will give you the credit, and that people throughout the world watching this game will hear that message and respond to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray for the numbers of people who are gathered together, maybe in their home today, watching this game, that those of them that are believers will use this opportunity to share the hope that they have to become a child of God. And God, I don't really care about the game, but I care about that. So I pray for that, Lord, that you'll use this day as an opportunity on a Sunday to build your kingdom here in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. This was a very interesting sermon, which I said last time. As I was going through this particular passage, which I am going to read to you, and it's 4 pages long, I kind of gave you a one-sermon introduction last time. Now you're going to get a teeny bit of introduction and the passage, and we're going to talk about it, and I don't know if we're going to get all the way through. But the reason that I did that and am spending this much time on this is because I think it's very important that we intentionally recognize that this is a reality. The reality is that, yes, you were born. And if you're a believer, which I hope you all are, if you're not, we need to talk. But that you at one point accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then your life continued to go on until at one point you're going to die or Jesus is going to return. Okay. But here we are as human beings, still a little bit broken, and in a broken world, and in a world that God sent Satan down to dwell in. And so there are things happening out there that are very difficult to process at times. And life itself can be kind of difficult to process at times. And so do we, as we go through that entire process, do we see that this is absolute reality? That God's providence, his activity here, his being part of everything that's going on here, and our decisions and our will and the things that we do are always, always meshed together. Yes? Yes? They are. Okay, so God is out there. He is in control of everything, and he is watching your life, already knowing what's going to happen, already knowing who you are. Now, you don't. And you don't know what's going to happen all the time, but knowing that God is there and seeing, okay, because if it was me, and I always got to say, well, God, if that was the case, then why do you let bad stuff happen? Right. You say, you know, you're the loving God and all that. And you know, I'd be just like, you know, like I'm grandpa. So, although I'm a little bit of a different grandpa because I have some living with me. But anyway, as grandpa, it's like, I just want to spoil my kids rotten, my grandkids. And I would think, man, if I was God, I just want to spoil my kids rotten. But God knows better than that. He knows what it takes. And so he tells us in his word, right? You know this is, I want what's best for you, and I have a plan for you. That's what we're seeing in this story, which we're going to read. Okay. We're seeing that God has a plan for Abraham, and God has a plan for his wife, Sarah, and God has a plan for his son, Isaac, that God chose to become the heir to produce a line of people that were God's chosen people, and eventually the Messiah. That would come and give everybody that God had chosen a chance to become a child of God. Okay, so there is this plan, and then we're looking at that, and we're reading through it, and we're seeing it in real life, this historical narrative, how God intervenes, and yet how mankind is making decisions, and sometimes they're decisions that line up with the plan that God has, and other times they're not. But guess what? God always gets what he wants. So I think that it's incredibly important as you evaluate your own life on a daily basis that I understand even in the midst of the trouble stuff, or even when I talked about this yesterday. Sometimes it's like, I really achieved my goal, and I've got this pretty big fat head, and I am pretty happy about how life is going because I made it all work out just the way I wanted. Does that sometimes happen? Every once in a while. And do you sometimes we get a big fat head that, hey man, look what I did. Yes, you do. Tell me you don't. Because it works both ways, right? Did God give me opportunities to achieve some things that I actually did want to achieve? Okay. I am standing here for that exact reason. Now, there was a time that I didn't want to achieve this, but that time is gone. You're going to see in my pastor's report when you get the thing how much I love you, how much I am enjoying being your pastor. Okay. It's not always easy. And because I love you and I hurt when you hurt sometimes, that can be a little bit difficult to deal with. But nonetheless, here I look at this and I see I had some plans. God had some plans. He worked it all together for his good and my good and his glory. And here I am. And I know that that's how this life is. And so if I am not cognizant of that, if I am not intentionally looking at life that way, then sometimes I get off the path and I don't need to. I say, okay, God, what's your plan? So we're going to be talking about that as we go through and look at these things. So we're going to be reading the passage, unfortunately for you. I don't know how long I got. Because it's a long one. But is it reality? Okay, we're living in this thing. So here's what we're going to be looking at. If this is true, which it is, that God's will and man's will are working together, God's providence, I am in control. Like we said this last time, you could probably, in hindsight, which is they say it's 2020, it's not really. Because as you get older, you'll find out, I don't even remember clearly what happened. Let's just say hindsight gives you a better perspective sometimes. Okay. Most of us could look back and say, I can look back and see God opened this door, or God closed this door, or God just, you know, made some things happen, or whatever. I could see that in hindsight. I can look at it. But we have to understand that is the reality that we're living in now. And so if we can do that, if we understand, then what do you think, if it's really important, that we say, okay, God, I know you're out there working. I know you have a plan. I know you open doors. I know you close doors. I know you give me abilities that I probably shouldn't have sometimes, and I know sometimes you bring trials into my life. Okay, if that is true, and I need to, what do you think would be important elements to actually take that reality and make it the most effective in your life? I know that's a hard question. Think about it for a second. If this is true, what things, because this is the message God gave me off of this, and you might be thinking, and maybe you did last week too, what in the world is he talking about? How does this relate? Oh. But I'm reading this passage, and I'm seeing these things, and I'm thinking, if I was Abraham and went through this along with Isaac and along with Rebekah, that I'm seeing God working it out, and I'm thinking, man, God, I wish it was so clear in my life how you had done this. But anyway, I'm looking at that, and I'm saying, okay, if I truly wanted to take full advantage of God's providence in my life, and then line that up with my own decisions, what would I need? And here was my conclusion. Why are you giving us a conclusion at the beginning of the sermon? I don't know. I need faith. Because lots of times, God's providence in working in my life is not what I want. It's not what I think I want. And so it takes faith. Right? If I really want to take advantage of this and things are not working out the way I want, I have to have faith to trust in God. Okay, so here's the thing. First one, faith. And I have to be, we talked about this yesterday morning at men's breakfast. I intentionally have to say, Tim, you need faith to process this. You need faith to evaluate the world, to evaluate your life, and you need to trust that God has your back and that he's in control. Okay? You agree? That's necessary? Okay, I think that's absolutely necessary. Okay. And I think you have to be intentional about it because otherwise you can get overwhelmed. Second, obedience. And we're going to see this. We're going to see these three things. I'm going to give you these three things, okay? Then we're going to look at the passage, and we're going to say, guess what? These things all show up in there. All of them. As God's providence and man's decisions come together. And guess what? That's what's happening in your life, too. And mine. Okay, so obedience. Intentionality. What do I need to be obedient? Intentionality. And I have to have knowledge. Knowledge of what? What do you think? If I'm going to be obedient, God's will. Well, God's will and what God says is already would be his will. All the things that God is giving me in his word to say, do this, don't do this, think this like this, don't think like this, feel like this, don't feel like this, go after this, don't go after this, right? I mean, if I'm going to be obedient and I want to stay on the path of God's plan for my life, then I have to know what it is that he wants. Okay, so how do I do that? Read his word. For us, right? We've been given the Holy Spirit to say, I'm going to help you understand so that when you are trying to be obedient with intentionality of being obedient, you need knowledge of what God wants. You need to make that a priority. I do want to be obedient. I do want to stay in the pathway of your plan for my life. And I guess what else you need? And didn't show up in Abraham's life. I want to be obedient. God, I know you've given me your plan. Real quick, we're going to look at it, right? This is what we talked about this last week. Okay, this was the plan. Behold, my covenant is with you. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Blah, blah, blah. You're going to be exceedingly fruitful. Look up into the sky. That's how many kids you're going to have, you know, and all that. Okay. And then the next one, he says, okay, not only am I going to tell you, but he says it, don't be displeased because of the boy, because of your slave woman. Talking about Ishmael Yes. Whatever Sarah says do to you, for I'm telling you, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be named. Okay. Okay, so we see he's got a plan, but what did we see before that? What's required if I'm going to be obedient? I have to know what God wants. But what if I don't have, if I do know what God wants and I have no patience? God, I've been waiting 25 years, so I'm tired of waiting. I'm going to do it this way with Hagar and Ishmael. So, does it require obedience? Yes, knowing what God's want. Does it require patience at times? God, I have a plan, but guess what? If you don't come up with showing me what it is, and pretty quick, I'm going to go wander off and do it my way. You think that's probably what we do most of the time? Well, a lot of the time, anyway. So, it does take some patience. And then this is the one thing, again, if we want to be obedient, this, and it requires some intentionality, because this is one of the other hard aspects of being a human being, created in God's image, but also broken. You want to be the God of your own life. I want to be in control, right? So if I'm going to be obedient to God, I have to intentionally, because this is not something that is inherently within me. I have to intentionally say, God, not my will, but yours be done. God, take over my life. God, take over my mind. God, take over my heart. Let the Holy Spirit, it says, live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. That's an intentional decision to say, God, I want to be obedient. Okay. And I know that maybe you think, well, none of this really relates, but it does. I'm going to get there, hopefully, before it gets too late. Third thing, gratitude. If I'm going to really deal with the fact that God is in control of everything, and I have my own plans, and I want to stay connected with that, I want to keep my plans and my decision, my thinking in God's pathway in my life, then I need to be not just willing to do it, but grateful and thankful. And for that, what do I need? I have to make that an intentionality again. I have to intentionally say and go back to, and this is one I go to a lot of times. You guys have heard it from me a number of times. Back in James chapter 1, right? Consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy. Be thankful. When you encounter trials of various kinds, consider it pure joy, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance will finish its work, and you will become perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then we're going to read this one a little bit later, what it says, be joyful always, right? In all things, give thanks. What do you mean about that, God? What do you mean? What do you mean when I had a plan, Abraham says, and you didn't show up, and I went and got this other woman, and guess what? Now that just was a total disaster. Now my wife is all hacked off about it, and we're having to boot him out. And okay, you're telling me I got to give thanks for that? Yeah. If you really want to experience peace and joy and fulfillment and contentment and satisfaction and hope in your life, yeah, you need to give thanks to the God that's always out there, always in control, always working together for your good. Okay. So, I should have told you to make notes, maybe. Well, because I'm gonna read the passage now, and then that's gonna be a big chunk of time, and then we're gonna have to go back and say, do I remember all the things he said were important about this passage? Okay, we'll see. I'll remind you anyway when we get there. So turn with me if you would in your Bibles, if you don't, because I don't have any slides. There's just too many. I'm just gonna read you the story, starting in verse 1 of chapter 24 in Genesis. Now. And so, listen, I'm going to help you here. As we're going through this story, maybe just make some mental notes. That sounded like God's providence. That sounded like a man's decision. Did they line up? Okay. So just think about it. I'll read slow. Keep that in your head. Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. God's providence? Yes, it was. Okay. I'm giving you a little hint there. Okay. Now, and Abraham said to his servant, the oldest one of his household, who had charge of everything that he had. So he's got a servant, and he's got all kinds of stuff from the Lord had blessed him in all things. So he said, put your hand under my thigh, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I now dwell. But instead, you will go to my country, back to my kindred, and take a wife for my son, Isaac. God's providence or man's decisions? Sounds like a man's decision to me, right? He's trying to be obedient. Okay, again, just a hint. The servant said to him, well, perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me back to this land. Must I then take your son back to that land from which you came?" Abraham said, "See to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house," which is the back there, "and gave me this land to be the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, 'To your offspring I will give you this land,' and he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there," meaning back where he came from. "But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must never take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed. Taking all sorts of gifts from his master, he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water from the well. And then he said this, "O Lord, God of Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. For behold, here I am standing in front of the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are going to come out and draw water. Let the young woman to whom I say this, please let down your jar that I may have a drink. And then who shall say, drink, and I will also water your camels. Let her be the one that you, God, have appointed to be your master or to be your servant Isaac's wife. Then by this I will know that you have shown steadfast love to my master." Before he even finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. She came out with her water jar on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very attractive in appearance, and a maiden whom no man had been with before, and she went down to the spring and filled her jar, and up she came. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water to drink from your jar." And she said, "Oh, drink, my lord." And then quickly she let the jar down upon her hand and gave him a drink. But while he was still finishing giving him the drink, she said this, "I will also draw waters for your camels so that they can have drinking." And so she quickly emptied her jar into a trough and then ran down again to the well to draw more water, and she watered all of his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had actually prospered his journey or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing half a shekel and 2 bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels and said to her, "Please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." And she added, "We have plenty of both straw and fodder and lots of room for you to spend the night." So the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, for he has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness towards my master Abraham. And as for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's family." Then the young man ran and told her mother's household about all these things that had happened. Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out towards the man to the spring. And as soon as he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms and heard the words that his sister Rebekah said, "This man spoke to me." Then he went to that man. And behold, he was standing there by the camels still at the spring. And he said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why should you stand outside? For I have prepared my house and a place for the camels." So the man came into the house, the servant, unharnessed the camels, and gave straw and fodder to the camels, and there was water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were there with him. Then food was set before them to eat, but he said, "Nope, I will not eat until I have said what I need to say." And so the other man said, "Speak on." Then he said this, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become great, and he's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and male servants and female servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, had bore him a son when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has, meaning Isaac. My master made me swear, you shall not take away a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I now dwell, but you shall go back to my father's house, to my clan, and take a wife for my son from there. And I said to my master, but what if the woman will not follow me? And my master said this, the Lord, before whom I have walked, he will send his angel with you, and he will prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son from the clan of my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my clan, and if they will not give her to you, or she will not come, you will be free from your promise. I came today, he said, and said, Lord, the God of my master Abraham, are you really going to prosper the way that I go? And here I am standing by the spring of water. Let the virgin who comes out to draw water, to whom I say, please give me a little bit of water from your jar to drink, and who will then say to me, go ahead and drink, and then I will draw water for your camels as well. Let her be the woman, Lord, who has appointed that you have appointed for my master's son. And before I had even finished speaking that prayer in my heart, behold, out came Rebekah with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew the water. And I said to her, would you please let me drink? And quickly she came and said, sure, drink, then I will get water for your camels also. So I drank, and then she came and gave the camels drink as well. Then I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, well, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and I worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had indeed led me to the right way to take the daughter for my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you're going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me, would you please? And if not, tell me this, that I may turn to the right or the left. Basically meaning, do you approve and are you going to let me take her? Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you whether it's good or bad. Behold, Rebekah is there before you. Take her and go. Let her be the wife of your master's son, for the Lord has spoken. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the earth before the Lord. And the servant brought out more jewelry, silver and gold, and garments, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave those things to her brother and her mother, got costly ornaments. And he and the men who were with him, because he wasn't by himself, the servant had some other guys with him, they all ate and drank, and they spent the night there. Then they arose in the next morning and said, send me away to my master. Her brother and her mother said this, though, let the young woman remain with us for a little while, at least 10 days, then she may go with you. But he said to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I might go to my master. And they said, okay, let's call the young woman and ask her. And they called Rebekah, and they said to her, will you go ahead with this man? She said, I will. So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and they said to her, O sister, may you become thousands upon 10,000s, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him. Then Rebekah and her young woman arose and rode on the camels and followed the servant. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had returned from Beer La'aruai, and he was dwelling there in the land of Negev. And Isaac went out to meditate in the fields one evening, and he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there he saw were camels coming. And Rebekah also lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel and said to the servant, who is that man? That man walking out in the field to meet us. And the servant said, that's him. That's my master. So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that had happened. Then Isaac brought her to the tent of Sarah, his mother, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And so Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. Okay, that's quite a story, isn't it? Now, if you were kind of working your way through that, you would see that both things are in there, aren't they? In fact, they're very, very clearly in there. God's providence. So if you look in the first 10, we're not going to have time to read it again. But if you were to look at the first 10 verses, I called that Abraham seeks a plan to find a wife for Isaac. Okay? And so you see God's providence there in verse 1. When Abraham was old, the Lord had blessed him in many things. That was God's providence. Verse 7. The Lord of the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and gave the land to me for my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring I will give this land. He will send an angel before you, and you shall find a wife for my son from there. So it's very clear as we read through this, all the way through, God working his part of it, and then man making decisions and trying to line up those two things. All the way through, the second part of it in verses 11 through 27, here's the servant fulfilling the mission. And the servant was doing the things he was told to do. He was trying to be obedient. He thanked God in there, and he said, thank you, Lord. He was clearly giving the thing over to God and recognizing that it was God who was working in him, that it was God who was showing him to the right woman. Then we see in verses 28 through 49, what was the response of the girl and her family? Okay, and so they also said, we understand what you're saying. We get the message. We see when you said, if I go there and she does this and I say this and this is what she says, then I'm going to know that God is telling me that's the one. Okay, and then in the very last... I'm going to get to the right page. We see the conclusion and how God exactly did what he said he wanted to do to fulfill the plan in the life of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Rebekah. And so what happens after that? Does it all work out the way God wants? Does he use Isaac and Rebekah to produce the sons Jacob and Esau, that he uses then to produce all of the tribes of Israel, and they go into Egypt, and they come back out. Moses brings all the 12 tribes back out into the promised land, and they get the promised land, and eventually they become the nation of Israel and produce the Messiah. So we know the conclusion. We see that God made a promise. We see how he intervened when necessary. We see how by people who would take God's plan and take the initiative to say, yes, I do want to be obedient. Yes, I do want to have faith. And yes, I am going to give you the credit, God. I'm going to recognize, yes, this was you, God. It wasn't just me being so smart and deciding, yes, this is the woman I think it should be. Okay. That's what I got when I read this. Except I had to say, am I living the same way? Am I intentionally in faith, looking to see what God's plan is for my life and accepting it in faith and trusting that God knows better than I do? That's what it says in Hebrews. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whomever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Okay. So I'm asking myself, this is the conclusion for you today. Do I have the faith that Abraham had, that Isaac had, and that his servant had to find God's path for my life and give him the outcome? Do you trust God? Because if you really want to experience all of the wonderful things that God has made, that he paid this horrible price for, you're going to have faith. Next, well, we can say this. Faith in what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. See, that's why if I'm looking at this story, had Abraham said, just go down there and grab whoever you can find, right? No, he had a plan, and he said, look, I am not going to lean on my own understanding on this. I did that with, Hagar and Ishmael. It didn't work, and so instead of doing that, I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart, and I know this. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. What was the point of this? What is the point of what I'm trying to say? Do I want to be on the pathway of God for my life? It says right here, if I trust in him and lean not on my own stupid man thinking, then yes, he's going to keep me in there. You need to think that too. And you need to be intentional about it. Because that's not the way we're wired, folks, when we're broken. Okay, go on to the last ones here. And we know, this is one of my favorites. What am I going to trust? What is it I'm going to have trust and faith in you, God? I'm going to have, in this world, when I'm working through the difficulties of living in a broken world and being a broken person and Satan is all around. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Doesn't seem like it most of the time, does it? It doesn't seem like it, but am I going to have faith that God is working all things together, using trials, as I said from James chapter 1, as a huge tool? Maybe, this is really, we've talked about it, John. This is probably God's most effective tool, trial. Because when we get what we want most of the time and get the blessings, we just get a big fat head. And so God says, I really do want to change you more into the image of my son. My most effective tool, unfortunately for you, especially maybe you, Tim, is trial. Otherwise, you go wandering off on your own. And so when it hurts bad enough, you come back to me. And this is the great one. For I know the plans you have for me, or I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Okay, so if you take faith and you take obedience and you take thankfulness or gratitude, and let's look at those. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So I know that I can be obedient if I give my life over to God, and if I make it a priority, God, I want to know what you want from me. I want to keep seeking it, intentionally trying to find not just what you say do and not do, but your actual plan for my life specifically. What do you want me to be doing? And I'm going to be obedient to it because I know that your commandments are not burdensome. They seem like it. Many, many people say, I can't live the Christian life. It's too hard. It's too much of a burden. It's overwhelming. I just feel guilt and shame. But he's saying the commandments are not burdensome because I'm doing this for your good and my glory. And then finally, gratefulness. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Okay, Tim, I want to be there. I want to be in this line. I want to stay in God's path. I want to understand God in your providence, and I want to understand my own thinking. And here's what God is saying. I want you to find joy and peace in this life. And in order to do that, you need to rejoice always and pray without ever stopping. And give thanks. This is the hard one. This is the hard one. Give thanks in really good circumstances. Nope. Give thanks always in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Okay. God's providence, my thinking. You know, God, you know, we talked about this last Sunday at this sermon. Some people think that we really are just puppets, and that's stupid. You know, that God is just controlling every thought we have and every decision we make, and that's not true. He's given us a will. It's not a free will, though. If you ever hear that? Man, your will is not free. It says in the scripture, you're either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. It's never free. But you do have a will. and God uses your will in making these decisions, right? So he's going to, I should have started to say, first of all, I thought life is kind of like, our lives are kind of like a chess game. You know, we make a move, God makes a move. We make a move, God makes a move. But what's wrong with that? In that case, what would we be? Opponents, right? God's trying to win, and I'm trying to win, and no. It's I don't even have a good illustration for it, but God is up there saying, look, here I am. Maybe it's like, I don't know, maybe it's like the parent who's kind of the helicopter parent, you know. You're going to mess this up. Here, you go over there, I'll fix it. You're going to go over here. That's okay, just... you know, and you're going to wander off and it's okay, come on back here. See, that's what God's doing. We have to be thankful for that. Even when it's like, okay, you're going to wander off and fall off the cliff a little bit and hurt yourself, but I know that I could tell you to quit wandering like that, but the only way you're actually going to do it is if I let you do it and it hurts. And then the next time I won't have to tell you. Okay, so... But if I don't trust God and I get angry with him when those kind of things happen, then I'm going to wander off the path. But what do I want? I want to experience everything God's bought for me with his son in this life. And in order to do that, I have to be patient. I have to be obedient. I have to be faithful. And I have to give him the credit and give him the gratitude every day. Hopefully that had something to do with Genesis chapter 24. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I'm trying to be so grateful for what you're doing, but through the hard times, it's not always as easy for us. But I know these things to be true. I know them to be true from your word. Even though I can intellectually say they're true, I don't always live them out, and we oftentimes don't. So, Lord, help us to see and be intentional about knowing that you are in control and that you have all things working together for our good. And help us as we try to navigate the pathway of life that can be very difficult at times, sometimes really great, too. But sometimes the really great is even more of a way that we wander off. And so, Lord, help us to see this intentionally and understand through faith and obedience and gratitude that we can experience all of the things that you have for us in this life. We ask that, and we need your help. We need your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.